now tell me, heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that bitter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 1 minute before 9 o'clock. We're about a half hour away from Fight the Empire. Today, host Per Fogering speaks with Stephen F. Cohen about his recent article in The Nation titled Coalition or Cold War with Russia. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. Then at 10:15 today, Flashpoints is off today. Instead, we'll hear Law and Disorder featuring Ethan Nadelman of the Drug Policy Alliance on progress being made toward more humane drug policies in the U.S. Also, historian Christopher Phelps discusses his new book, Radicals in America, The U.S. Left Since the Second World War. At 11 on Between the Covers, host David Naiman interviews writer Mary Gateskill about her new novel, The Mayor. That goes till about 11:45, and then we'll finish off the hour with an excerpt from an interview with James Grissom, author of Follies of God, Tennessee Williams, and the Women of the Fog. That's all coming up this morning, right after Press Watch. It's news you're not supposed to know with Teresa Mitchell, right after this.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of music, nature, and storytelling, an experiential weekend workshop from January 8th through the 10th at Cedar Ridge Retreat and Conference Center in Vernonia, Oregon. Storytelling as a practice broadens our perspective and helps us understand the significance of our experiences. This workshop teaches the roots of storytelling and delves into the storyteller's mind. No prior experience required, and the deadline for registration is December 18th. Again, that's Music, Nature, and Storytelling, a weekend workshop January 8th through the 10th at Cedar Ridge Retreat in Vernonia, Oregon. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. It's 9:02 Pacific time. And according to the NOAA, flooding is possible today and tomorrow for Northwest Oregon and Southwest Washington. And they write heavy rain Wednesday night through Thursday night will cause sharp rises on area creeks and rivers. Ponding of water and creek flooding is possible as early as this morning, with river flooding possible as early as this afternoon for faster responding rivers. Ducks and squirrels floating down the road. Actually, it's just looks like another typical northwest winter whoosh coming this way. So heads up, you know, got your flashlights, got some potable water. I want to talk about Bernie Sanders today because, whereas I'm not exactly a partisan with that, I see a lot of good things about Bernie, to be sure, but I want to talk about it because it ain't being talked about. He's being shut out. I didn't realize how bad till I saw some of the stats, so I'll get to that in just a minute, but I want to get to some headlines from the Rock River Times. Titled, Chicago Police Unions Fight to Destroy Decades of Records. article by Austin Berg starts off, as the U.S. Department of Justice gears up for a civil rights investigation into the Chicago Police Department, the city's police unions are fighting in court to keep hidden reams of complaint records spanning decades. Last year, a record request made under Freedom of Information Act for complaints against Chicago police officers dating back to 1967 was challenged unsuccessfully by the city. The Illinois Appellate Court ruled the city must honor the request made by independent local journalist Jamie Calvin. In the wake of that ruling, Calvin was joined by Chicago Tribune and Chicago Sun-Times in his fight for the data, and the city officials agreed to release it, but then the unions stepped in. And we're talking police unions. And I do make the distinction, speaking for myself, my union isn't allowed to carry arms. And I think there's kind of a difference, because unions are for projecting democratic power where there is none. And I don't think the cops have any shortage of power. Anyway, in October 2014, the union representing rank and file Chicago police officers sued the city to prevent the release of records more than 4 years old. The suit by the Fraternal Order of Police, or FOP, argued that officers would face public humiliation and loss of prestige in their employment were those older records made public. So I want to stop again and say, well, if they're that bad, and of course they surely are, if they cause loss of prestige and public humiliation, well, that would kind of indicate that a powerful organization like the Chicago Police Department should be exposed by such public records. But they're able to go into the court and say, it'll hurt us, and get it considered in that way. So going back to the text here, the Chicago Police Benevolent and Protective Association, which represents higher-ranking officers, that's like an association, filed a separate similar lawsuit. Illinois Circuit Court Judge Peter Flynn granted the unions an injunction preventing the release of most of the files, but preliminary findings show the power and importance of this kind of information. The same month, the FOP filed its suit. Officer Jason Van Dyke shot and killed 17-year-old Laquan McDonald. The records the city has been allowed to release thus far paint a troubling picture of that incident and of how persistent complaints against Chicago police officers are handled in general. Van Dyke, who has been charged with McDonald's murder, was the subject of at least 20 complaints over his 14-year career, including several brutality complaints, one of which resulted in a civil lawsuit costing the city $530,000 in damages and legal fees, according to the data released to the city going back to 2011, along with data obtained from two civil lawsuits against the city. These records can be viewed through the Citizens Police Data Project, or CPDP. That's the Citizens Police Data Project. I'll be looking that up later this week. None of the complaints they write against Van Dyke resulted in disciplinary action. In fact, of the more than 28,000 complaints filed against Chicago Police Department officers from 2011 to 2015, less than 2% resulted in discipline, typically in the form of a reprimand or a suspension of less than 1 week. Most officers have only a small number of complaints, and that's true, once again, speaking for myself. We have a problem with police departments across the country. And some of the police are Nazis, and some of the police are Klansmen, and all of the police vigorously stand up for all of them. And this Fraternal Order of Police is one of the biggest defenders of Nazis and Klansmen since the original party popped up in Germany and Austria some years ago. And that's the problem, isn't it? It's like we can say, oh, it's just a few bad apples, but all the apples are, let's see, find another metaphor, circling their apple wagons, guns akimbo, and sick of this. Are you sick of this? There's more on that article. There's a lot more. It gets worse and worse. You should read it. That article, once again, is at rockrivertimes.com. Or use a search engine try Jamie Calvin Fraternal Order of Police, Chicago. That might pull it up. All right, moving on. Headlines. Hackers have claimed to have discovered a number of IP addresses linked to the Department of Work and Pensions in Britain, being used by ISIS, ISIL, Daesh, Douche to run a number of social network accounts. Hacking group VandaSec passed on the details to the Daily Mirror. The group uncovered evidence that at least three terrorist-supporting Twitter accounts can be traced back to IP addresses connected with a department headed by Tory MP Ian Duncan Smith. At the time, that department denied owning the IP addresses associated with the accounts. The UK government later admitted that it had sold a large number of IP addresses that it owned to Saudi Telecom, but it didn't reveal how much it had made from the deal. Now, that's at itpro.com, itpro.com. Use a search engine, try a news search engine, and try Hackers IP Daily Mirror. Maybe you'll find it that way. I could go on about the Daily Mirror, but never mind. And speaking of media, Media Matters reports that ABC World News Tonight has devoted 81 minutes to Trump and 1 minute to Sanders. And even that 1 minute for Sanders is misleading because the actual number is closer to 20 seconds for the entire year. That's the rather stunning revelation from the Tyndall Report, which tracks the various flagship nightly news programs on NBC, CBS, and ABC. The report's campaign findings cover the network evening newscasts from January 1st through the end of November. The results confirm two media extremes in play this year, and not just at ABC News. The network newscasts are wildly overplaying T. Rump, who regularly attracts between 20 and 30% of primary voter support, while at the same time wildly underplaying Sanders, who regularly attracts between 20 or 30% of primary voter support. Sanders supporters have long complained about the candidate's lack of coverage. Now we have the numbers. Obviously, Trump is the GOP frontrunner, and it is reasonable that he would get more attention than Sanders, who's running second for the Democrats, but 234 network minutes for Trump compared to just 10 network minutes for Sanders, as the Tyndall Report found. And they write, Andrew Tyndall provided the breakdown by network of Sanders' 10 minutes of coverage via email. CBS Evening News, 6.4 minutes. NBC Nightly News, 2.9 minutes. ABC World News, 0.3 minutes. On Bernie who? Bernie Sanders. But how can they be? ABC News, for instance... How can that be, I think, is what they meant to write. ABC News, for instance, clearly devoted more than 20 seconds to covering the Democratic debates, which featured news of Sanders, right? But as Tyndall explained, the number counts stories, this is a quote, filed about the Sanders campaign or from the Sanders campaign. Obviously, he is mentioned in passing in other coverage of the Democratic field overall, specifically his performance in the debate. So there's more on that. It's at MediaMatters.com, MediaMatters.com. This is Press Watch. It's 11 minutes after the hour. This is KBOO Portland, where you can hear this sort of thing. And I'm Teresa Mitchell. I'm a socialist. I'm actually a little C communist. I don't use the communist brand because, well, it has a lot to do with vanguardism and, you know, Stalin starving the Ukrainians. But I do like the idea of owning the means of production. I mean, we go out there, we do the work, we should freaking own it. To me, this is obvious. And I am opposed to capitalism, where whoever shows up with a bucks gets to be a little king and tell you, you know, that you have to come to work wearing little polka dots or whatever they want. And they'll pay you whatever they want. And they're the little kings. And that sucks. It's stupid. It misallocates wealth. It always has for a long time in American society. Let's say from the 50s, pardon me. Let's go back to the 40s. Social pressures prevented the extreme misallocation of wealth. Social pressures and laws that were enacted during and after the Great Depression. But now we have the greatest maldistribution of wealth in history. We have billionaires. We have trillions in offshore accounts. And we have people sleeping under bridges. These two categories are very, very related. It is because people have been forced to sleep under bridges after doing a lifetime of work that people can put trillions in offshore accounts and hide them from taxes. I am a socialist. I object to this vigorously. Now, Bernie Sanders, the socialist, he's been getting nearly censored by the corporate-owned media, and this show is about thwarting monopoly media manipulation, last I checked, so despite differences that I may have with the Sanders campaign, I'm going to devote the rest of the show to countering that effort Your questions and comments about Bernie Sanders coverage, 503-231-8187 from Telesur TV. English section. Socialist Bernie Sanders performed better on Twitter than any other presidential hopeful during the latest Republican debate. Yeah, I said Republican debate. That's how screwy this situation is. Anyway, returning to their text, Democratic presidential candidate and self-described socialist Bernie Sanders won the Republican Party's latest presidential debate Tuesday night, at least according to Twitter users. Sanders raked up more new Twitter followers than any other presidential candidate during the debate, according to Twitter government. The social media monitor put Republican candidate Donald Trump in second place behind Sanders, followed by Ben Carson, Marco Rubio, and Ted Cruz. However, Sanders didn't just win out in terms of new followers. He also scored some of the highest engagement on social media platform, including sending out the most retweeted statement of the night. Quote, repeat after me, we must combat anti-Muslim bigotry and all forms of discrimination in our country and in our world, end quote. The message had been retweeted nearly 12,000 times at the time of writing and liked by just under 18,000 social media users. Comparably, one of Trump's best received tweets failed to reach 3,000 retweets during the debate. By the way, don't you think it's time for National Hijab Wednesdays? I mean, it's not my business, so I'm not proclaiming, but I'm just saying I'm ready. If a major Muslim, U.S. Muslim organization were to call for hijabs on everybody every Wednesday, I would gladly don the hijab because it's a piece of cloth, people. And I drive a bus for a living, and I see how people react to women, just women, they're just, I don't know what to say. They're just riding the bus, people. And they've got a little scarf on their head. And it's okay. It's gonna be okay. When did Americans become such drooling cowards? Oh my God. So, how about Hijab Wednesdays? It'll be fun. It could be a thing. Might start a new fashion. Just putting it out there. Okay, so I said I'm going to do Bernie Sanders. I'm going to do Bernie Sanders. Here's some Bernie Sanders news. It ain't by me. It's by Washington Post. Your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Aides to Bernie Sanders said Wednesday night that his campaign has now collected more than 2 million contributions and that they expect to outpace President Obama's 2012 election re-election off effort. I guess I tried to say it too quickly. That's my little problem here. Okay, President Obama's 2012 re-election effort on that count by the end of the year. The number reflects an operation that has focused on raising money in small increments from an exceptionally wide range of donors, with the vast majority of contributions coming over the internet. As of Wednesday, the average donation to Sanders' campaign was less than $30. Aides said. The campaign did not release the number of unique donors to Sanders. Many people have given more than once, but aides said that the figure is approaching 1 million. By the way, I didn't copy out part of this headline, but you can find headlines now that are, because the corporate-owned press is just so terrified of Sanders. They just wish to God you would stop saying that name. Stop thinking that Bernie Sanders is a person and that he's a socialist and that he's out there and he's running for, oh my God, he's running for president. And so they have stuff like Bernie Sanders' major PAC contributions. So what's Bernie Sanders' major PAC contributions? He got a union. I'll have some details on the union in a minute. They're just really stretching. Just anything, anything. Stop thinking about that socialism. Oh, my God. Anyway, nationaljournal.com reports. The number to call, by the way, 503-231-8187. Bernie Sanders talked billionaires. He talked climate change. He talked income inequality. But he also talked about something he couldn't have dreamed he would be bragging about months ago, his standing in the polls. The voting set to begin in just 7 weeks. The senator from Vermont on Monday told several dozen students and faculty at Nashua Community College that he has a real shot against Democratic front runner Hillary Clinton, and that recent surveys prove it. I'll get more of that in just a moment. But I want to go to caller. Number to call, 503-231-8187, and it's Francis on the air.
Hi.
There's
something to be said by Gil Scott Heron's song, "The Revolution Will Not Be Televised." I think it's going to be on the internet. I think that these polls that they're doing, they're polling what people that are not representative of the people that are communicating with each other in social media. And Bernie Sanders, I think it's funny that the Republicans and the media refer to the potential contest between Democrats and Republicans being likely Trump against Hillary. And I don't think that's the way it's going to be. And I think it's funny that everyone keeps just assuming that Hillary Clinton is going to be the nominee for the Democratic Party. I don't know what they've been viewing or seeing or participating in, but Bernie Sanders has quite a few people following him, and it's impressive.
Yep. The polls are impressive. Showing it. Twitter shows it.
Including hip-hop artists, and Killer Mike came out recently with a very passionate endorsement of Bernie Sanders. There's a lot of people that the media doesn't talk to and frankly dismisses and is not aware of that are supporting Bernie Sanders. So it's going to be interesting to see the media shock.
Yeah, Killer Mike is totally endorsing.
Right. So it's going to be impressive, I think, when it happens. It's got to. Hopefully. To me, what is happening right now is the United States, the rest of the world is watching to see if we are what we say we are or if we're something else. Whatever. I think Donald Trump, sometimes I feel that he may be a devil's advocate, is bringing out all the evilness in this country.
Hey, you know, that could be a brand. America is something else.
Exposing it, you know, exposing it, and then we can deal with it. You know, are we going to or are we not? That's the question.
Good point.
All right, you take care.
Thanks for your call. Yes, I was quoting from nationaljournal.com, and that he has a real shot against Democratic frontrunner Hillary, Lady Macbeth, most likely candidate to start a nuclear war, Clinton, and that recent surveys prove it. They write, "We started with no money, no political organization. We started at 3-5% in the polls." That's a quote of Bernie Sanders. Also quoting Sanders, "I just came back from Iowa, which will hold the first caucus in the country. We're in single digits behind Secretary Clinton. We can win Iowa, and I think we have a good chance to do that. Last poll out of here in New Hampshire had us in the lead. I think we stand a good chance to win here in New Hampshire, and if we can win in Iowa, and if we can win in New Hampshire, we have a real path towards victory, towards pulling off one of the major political upsets in the history of our country," end quote, Bernie Sanders. And, you know, it kind of looks like he's right. And he also looks very, very, very censored to me, and I just went over the numbers, and they're scarcely believable. But, you know, numbers are numbers, and techniques are techniques. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And Harry's on the air.
Good morning.
Thank good you morning.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The pink elephant in the room that no one wants to talk about, and why the media doesn't cover Barry Sanders, Senator Sanders, is because he's Jewish.
Yep, he is that.
Yeah, and I think that has a lot to do with they don't want to, that subject's not going to be brought up, but, you know, I think that's one reason why they're kind of having a news blackout.
Really? I mean, that's kind of interesting. I mean, I shouldn't think that the media would particularly shy away from Jewishness right now. Today, in 2015, there certainly is a great deal of support for Israeli military policy, and last I checked, they're Jews.
Yeah, that's true. But this also by Barry Sanders is, he's going to have the same problem with why Mitt Romney didn't win, was because Mitt Romney was a Mormon.
So religious minorities are...
Yeah, and does he take his marching orders from Salt Lake City? And the same thing they'll be asked about Sanders is, does he take his marching orders from Tel Aviv?
Well, it is kind of a good question to ask about him, because that's one of my criticisms of Bernie Sanders, is that he seems, insufficiently militant against Israeli militarism. I could be wrong about that. I can't say that I've researched that thoroughly. But, yeah, There have been some statements I've had some problems with. Okay. Hey, thanks for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Alternet.org writes, with the mainstream media fixated on Donald T. Rump and the GOP's gyrations over his widening lead, it's easy to overlook the fact that Democratic race has become a tightening contest between Bernie Sanders, who's that, and Hillary Clinton. The Des Moines Register and the Bloomberg Politics' latest detailed poll tracing that contest showed both Clinton and Sanders were strong candidates with much that appeals to the state's liberal Democratic base. Overall, Clinton has the support of 49% of caucusgoers compared to 39% for Sanders. Only 4% back Martin O'Malley. And Brian's on the air.
Hi. I had a question about something you said earlier. It has something to do, but not directly with the presidential thing. Is that okay if I go there?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd mentioned about the workers having owning the means of production. And every time I hear you say that, I love listening to your show and I love everything you say, but every time I hear that, I think that I would like to learn more about how that works as a business owner. My wife and I run a small farm, and we've been working on it and developing it and a lot of sweat equity into it for like 20 years, and we have people come on that work on the farm for a season, maybe even up to three, but then they're off and doing their own thing. So when you have something that you've put so much sweat equity into, and you usually only get paid less than what you pay people that work for you, how do you, like small business owners, how do you explain the concept that you are espousing in regards to that? How do you tell someone who's put everything they've got into a business that's an honest question so that I could understand how it
absolutely
would work.
Well, your business, okay, what you're talking about is within context. You're thinking, what can you do that is socialistic within that context? You are in one of the most difficult sectors to approach that because you're in competition with, you know, multinational giant agricultural producers who produce things very, very cheaply and who exploit the same workers and I'll just go ahead and use the word exploit. You don't really have much of a choice if you're going to be doing that and competing against those people for those prices, then the labor that has to be the labor, all of the labor, yours and the people that you bring in, all of them together are bringing in a very small amount and too small of a margin, probably too small of a margin to get by even as a cooperative, although it has been done, depending on, you know, what you're producing. But, you know, what I'm talking about, when I talk about owning the means of production, and I do talk about a moral force to that, there are many, many sectors, there are many small shops that I go by every day that could totally be cooperatives and totally should be cooperatives and would get by better because they would have certainly more enthusiastic work from everyone, and everyone would get a share. An example of that would be the whaling ship that's described in Moby Dick. That is a capitalistic model, but it's a transparent capitalistic model. Everyone gets a share of what they take in.
Right.
And the whales, you know, get the spear. But your case, I don't see. I mean, I can't come to you with a moral force and say you should be a co-op because doing what you're doing, it may be impossible. And you know, okay. That's why I want overall change.
That's what's always. Because I hear you, and I love what you're saying, but I'm looking at our numbers, and I go, but how do we do this? You know, we pay our people as much as we can pay, which is at a maximum of maybe 20 to 30% over minimum wage. And then, of course, we don't make minimum wage if we, you know, put all the hours that we put into this, not even close. So
yeah, no, context is everything.
And I'm like, how do I do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, you just have to run the numbers. But yeah, that's an excellent question.
Oh, and, well, thank you so much for addressing it. And maybe,
I think it's a great question because that's why we have to have overall changes. Like, are we supposed to be, you know, are we supposed to be saints within a system of, you know, capitalism crushing everyone else? It can't be done that way.
All right. And the one only answer I can find in my mind of our problem is more people need to be aware of what they eat and source locally. And, you know, think about what they're doing. You know, don't go to Costco and buy organics and think that you're doing the same thing as buying from someone that's local.
Yeah, and the change that I would endorse would be much more of what we produce ourselves. And frankly, food would cost a lot more of our budgets than it does now. But our budgets would be totally different in a lot of other ways.
Yeah,
well, now I'm out of time. And I'm sorry to cut you off. And thank you very much for that call. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Coming up, Per Fogring and Fight the Empire. And so you'll want to stay tuned for that. We've been going out to you via the big transmitter on the hill. Isn't it beautiful? Have a look at it, the big red and white Eiffel Tower out there. I just love looking at that thing. We're one of the transmitters on that. And that's 90.7 FM. And we are other transmitters elsewhere in Cascadia. And we are via the World Wide Web and in that manner to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the We Real Cool film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month is Ornette, Made in America, showing Thursday, December 17th at 7 p.m. Released in 1985, Ornette, Made in America, explores the rhythms, images, and myths of America seen through the eyes of an Ornette Coleman's imagination and artistic evolution over three decades. Again, that's Ornette, Made in America, Thursday, December 17th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Well, this is Fight the Empire on KBOO Radio, and my guest is Professor Stephen Cohen, who is written a lot about Russia and the Soviet Union, and we're going to talk about some